everybody. We are back.
Radio.
Sorry, everybody. We are back. Be Talk Live with Alex Williams. We apologize for all the technical difficulties, but we are back on live. For people who are still logged on, we appreciate everybody for being on, for tuning in. We're just asking for everybody to spread the word. We are blogtalkradio.com/ Be Talk Alex Williams. Again, we're going to have a segment where you can call, and that number is 347-850-8408. So real quick, we're going to jump into it. We have some amazing guests who promise to keep it raw and uncut at Be Talk Live today. Our topic today is culture vultures. You know, when I put the post up, we had so many people chiming in and excited about talking on this subject. I mean, the Black Lives Matter subject is everywhere. It's popular. It's trendy because, you know, to be honest, we're sick and tired of seeing our Black brothers and sisters slaughtered in the street. And so even though that subject is so prominent and it's important, there's also another aspect that we're not touching, that we don't talk about as much. It's just like Black lives matter, Black culture matters. What happens and how do we feel about the fact that some of our culture, our music, our art is being used all over and people are kind of capitalizing on it? Little Richard has been preaching it for years. Elvis Presley is proclaimed the king of rock and roll, but actually Little Richard created rock and roll. He's the orchestrator. He says it all the time. So we're going to jump into it. One of our guests that we have today, she is amazing. She, when I spoke to her today, she gave the disclaimer and told her mama, if I get too out of hand, please do not call and chastise me live on the air. Her name is Brandy Hunter. We want to welcome her. She is the CEO and founder of Media Hunter PR firm. Brandy, what's going on?
What's up? Thanks for having me.
What's going on? What's going on? Somebody else we have on the show. I was so excited to get my brother here live. He is from Jersey City, New Jersey, born and raised here. You know, I call him the mouthpiece of Jersey City. I'm telling you, he is an entrepreneur. He is a mentor, a barber. He does everything. He's a renaissance man. Dave Supreme Adams. Come on,
Dave. What's up? What's good? What's good, man? How are you? Thanks for inviting me. Real talk.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. And of course, we had to bring back my boy, my man, D. Prescott from Essex County's own. He's here to represent and to lend his voice and his knowledge. D. Prescott, tell the people what's up.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show. Let everybody know what's going on. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So we want to jump right into the topic. We want to jump right into this convo. We were talking about how our culture is used in mainstream America. We see that previously our Black girls, they have braids and they have, you know, the Black women been wearing braids forever. But now the Kardashians have coined it and almost commercialized it, and it's now they're selling it and taking credit of it. So how do you feel about mainstream America picking and choosing parts of Black culture to be like commercialized and making money off of things that we created? Do you consider, you know, what they're doing stealing our culture, our art, or are they borrowing it? I'll start with Brandy.
Well, I mean, the question really is, when have they not? Since we got here, since we were yanked off our continent and brought here, there has been appropriation, whether it's using the Mamie and the Aunt Jemima to the Sambo to all of that. They've been capitalizing off of it for years. Mm. There's nothing that they invented that we have that they use. So it's like you didn't invent the rags on our head. That was because you wouldn't let us properly clothe ourselves and cover ourselves.
Wow.
And we had to work. You know, when have they not? I'm looking for a time when our culture wasn't used for their greater good. So you can call it borrowing, you can call it stealing, you can call it whatever you want. But at the end of the day, when have they not? It's so normal that they don't even think when they do it anymore.
And so it seems like they take the trendy or cool part of what we do and not really embracing of the whole struggle or what we did. You know, Dave, what do you feel? I want to hear your voice now.
Well, I think that, you know, they're doing what they, you know, really, if you got a dead people and you got a vulture actually picks off of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So if we're dead, that's what prey and predators, that's that thing there. You know what I mean? They're actually picking off of the dead. You know what I mean? So we have to really come alive to actually, you know, do our own thing and start basically doing for self and things of that nature. How can others come in our community and supply us with food, clothing, and shelter, and we can do that for ourselves? So if others are doing that for us, then we're considered, we're dead.
Well, do you believe in allowing them to take our culture and mix it in with us? Because simply, I don't see Asians doing it. I don't see Indians.
That's not true. That's not true. In Japan, they appropriate culture. They be dancing hip-hop. They bebop.
Right.
They do
right.
all of that.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not a matter of letting anybody take anything from us.
Right.
It's about, like, literally having the value within ourselves and manifesting what we have and seeing that value. See, the problem is now we don't value ourselves like we did
right.
then. When we had the Harlem Renaissance, Black Panthers, all that stuff, that's because there was pride in what
wow.
we were and the culture that we had and where we were going and what we were doing with things.
Right.
So it was harder to steal then.
Right.
Then you had to give respect. Marilyn Monroe had to give respect to Ella Fitzgerald for coming, you know, by coming to the club and making sure she could sing, because you couldn't just yank jazz from Black people because we had it so wrapped up that you had to know it came from us. You could put Dave Koz and all of them. They can say whatever they want about jazz. Okay. But let me tell you something. Before you got there, Miles was there. Bird was there.
Right.
And they never let you forget that. Now we get so caught up in making sure we get those major record deals or those major clothing deals or those hand-downs from people on the Billboard 100 that look nothing like us, are older than us, don't care about anything but the dollars we put in their pocket.
Mm.
And you wonder why they appropriate? Because when they appropriate, that's saying, hey, that's cool. That's approved now.
Right.
That's great now. You're good enough now. We wait on other people's good enough.
Wow.
And that's a problem. That's where appropriation is even able to happen. You got Flo Rida, Sam on roller skates and booty shorts because the white man said you cool, my G? Because he said your version of hip-hop was good, so now it's good enough. Now you're a talented rapper. And you, we used to be so self-contained. Our artists were our artists. Billy
right.
was great because Billy was great.
Right.
Ella was great because Ella was great.
And we didn't
hip-hop
that
was amazing
right.
because
right.
hip-hop was amazing.
Right.
Not because somebody at Universal who's 55 years old and was given the keys to the kingdom said, hey, Young Thug or whoever or Future or somebody can rock now.
Right.
No,
right,
that's
right.
not how that used to go. We were us. We developed our own way of doing things. We developed, even if you look at Chess Records, Leonard Chess had to bow down. He had to bow down to his artist. He had to say it at his end. He had to literally, his artist dictated how his label moved, not the other way around.
Well, I have a question, and I'll let Daniel plug in. How do you feel, while we're on the subject of music, and you see people like Macklemore, you see people like, I don't even want to say his name, Vanilla Ice, you see people like Eminem, you hear people, even when you talk about like vocalists, they call Adele the voice now because Whitney's no longer around. And she's selling, you know, they're saying that she's replaced Whitney or she's as good or even greater. She's gone. I mean, God bless Whitney. But I have a question, Dee. What do you feel about, you know, people who are, you know, are Caucasian or white taking what we do in terms of the ethnic music and kind of making it their own? Do you feel like, you know, do they pay homage to us enough, or do you think they shouldn't even sing it at all? They should stick to whatever they do.
Honestly, the way I feel is they don't pay homage enough to us at all. Also, piggyback on some of the things my brother was saying over here, we're not taking it as our own and making sure that people know that this is our type of music. You know, we have been so blinded by dollar signs that our people are more scared to take risks. And, you know, in these days, and I feel like if we get back to, you know, I am pro-black, but yes, I am.
Okay.
But I feel that we as a people need to come together more before we expect anybody to start changing how they view us. You know, we all come out in the community when, you know, God forbid, one of our people are killed by maybe a Caucasian police officer. But we need to come to the community when our own people are killing each other. You know, if we don't step up and start showing people that it's unacceptable for us to kill each other, then they're going to look at us and start thinking, oh, they're just animals and criminals. You know, people judge us on, like, just how our parents are. Like, oh, he has on baggy jeans. He's not educated. Oh, he's going out his beard. He must be Muslim. Like, come on, like, stop judging a book by its cover just because of the color of my skin. But back to the question that you asked, I feel like our people need to, like I said, stand up for what's ours, and people maybe will, no, it's not maybe, they will recognize that this is our music. We started it. You know, it's all right if you're going to sample us and use our music and be a part of it, but let's pay homage to it, because, I mean, we sample other things also at the same time, but like I said, we must stand up together first.
Well, when I was listening to you talk about the baggy jeans, and it seems as if, you know, people who aren't black use black culture in a sense of convenience. You know, I said
it's cool to be black, except for
cool
being black.
Yeah,
it's great being black in the culture,
right,
until you have to deal with black people problems. Until your name on your resume is more important than where you went to school. Until you can't get X, Y, and Z job because people assume coming through the door that you're going to be a hood rat, until you have to worry about if your kid, son, nephew, or somebody has to get home at night,
right,
and if they're going to say the right thing to the police officer that's not going to put them in a coffin. See, all of that's cool because white people don't have to worry about that. But to Daniel's point, I will say this. While we do kill each other and know it's not cool and we do need to stand up and fix some of the gaps in our community, let's be 100%. White people got a killing problem, too.
Well,
they will. They take their own out on a regular basis, and they like
down
to take multiple.
Right.
They like to take multiple, but where we get the focus is because we're, quote-unquote, the disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the representation, and we don't have the lawyers, and we don't have the justice system on our side. Because white folks like to take 50 and 60 of them at a time. Now, we might take 3 or 4 on the block, but they will walk into a movie theater and go bananas.
Right, right.
World drop. But at the end of the day, it all comes from values, because how we see ourselves, we don't all look at each other the same way in our culture.
Not at all.
Everybody in this room has seen somebody going, oh, my God, this N-word here. Why are you acting like that?
Like that lady that we saw down the street with the blue curls,
and
the blue lipstick, and the blue nails.
You want to say something to them, but you know it'll probably lead to welcome. But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you want to say something to them, but you know it's going to end up in a confrontation and a headache that you may not have time for because of where you're headed, that you may not. It's some confrontation. Some people, honestly, in our culture, in white culture, in Asian culture, in Hispanic culture, you just can't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell them nothing right. You can't, because it's going to turn into this debate or argument or sometimes violence. I have had people be like, brother, you don't have to act like that and get swung on. And I'm like, really? Because somebody's trying to lead you away from the danger. The light is too bright. You're afraid of the light. So you somewhere in that, you know, that gray. So it's the way that we view each other, but it's also the way we look at ourselves, because the generation before us was brought up knowing their greatness. They were brought up knowing whose shoulders we stand on.
Of course.
Nowadays, girls think Nicki Minaj, no shade to Nicki, go and get your money. I love you. Respect. But they think Nicki Minaj is a role model. I grew up, Dr. Mae Jemison was a role model. I wanted to be an astronaut. That's where I wanted to go. Thurgood Marshall, you on the most powerful court in the world? What? That's what I wanted to
recognize
do.
Recognize value. I mean,
I didn't want to be Iggy.
Yeah.
What?
Well, there was a movement in the 90s. I love Spike Lee. I love Spike Lee. No lie, the last 2 weeks I revisited Jungle Fever and Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, you
and
watch early Spike. You can't watch later.
But, yeah, just a little bit. But, I mean, during those movies, such a consciousness in the 90s, the movement that happened in the 90s where you saw the Kufis, you saw the dashikis, you saw people embracing black culture, African culture, and everything was so sensitive. I mean, we were so embracing of where we were and trying to pay homage. Yeah. You know, in that famous scene, Sal, put those pictures up on the wall.
Right.
Where's the pictures of Martin Luther King? Where are the pictures? So, Dave, what do you think is different now?
Well, the difference now is I think that even the artists, like you got the all these big-time millionaire singers, I mean, all of these actors, they're not involved in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And
it's not. It's like, you know, the younger can't really see those who are in the light right now saying things like black is beautiful.
Like your public enemy.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem. We have to have those millionaires like the Michael Jordans and the, you know, Oprah Winfrey talking about black love as much as they can. Putting love in love for self in their songs. That's not happening. That's a real big problem. You know?
The self-love thing is a big deal. Now, I want to say this.
For everybody who is tuning in, we appreciate, like I said, spread the word. We're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to take some calls. Again, the number is 347-850-8408. So tune in real quick. But I want to mention this. You mentioned self-love. Now, I find it amazing that, you know, I did mention the braids a little earlier. For years, for a long time, it's been, you know, you see a girl with braids all down her back, you consider her ghetto.
Right.
Or you see a girl with a big butt, that hasn't been trendy. But now you see people paying millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The Kardashians are prime examples. They pay millions of dollars to get silicone queens, butt implants, lip implants. People are tanning and burning their skin to be dark like us. You know, to be dark like Daniel. I mean, to be like, no, but Daniel, what do you feel about what do you feel about people trying to look like us, but then we as a people not recognizing our own value?
Like you said before, you know, they want to dress like us. They want to get the hairstyle like us, but they don't want to be us. They don't want to go through what some of us go through.
Yeah, you know,
honestly, and this is not to be on some I'm scared type, but the way that this country has been going on over these years, when I see disco lights in the back, my heart skips a beat, honestly. All jokes aside, no, real talk. If I get pulled over, I really do this. I roll all four windows down. I take my car keys and I put them on top of the car, and I put my hands out the window, because I want the officer to know that I'm not trying to do nothing. I don't want to be the next victim. You might judge me, but seriously, I want to go home at night. And you know, the way things are now, it's just a different world. It's a different world, and I'm telling you, like, our people, like I said to you before, you know, we really need to come together better. You know, I really feel like our black communities need to go back to having our black businesses. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to start investing in our own people and support each other. You know, when you hear about one of your people doing something, you should go out there and support it. You know, a lot of other races, they do that. They might not even like the music or like what they do, but they support them. They give them that push because, you know, when we see our own people supporting us, I mean, that's going to boost your self-esteem. That's going to boost your energy level. I mean, your mindset's going to be different, and I really feel that we need to get to that, you know, and I really feel that if we start going in that direction, I really feel things will change.
I love that point. Brandy, I really want to stick with the image. I see it so often, and you being in PR and in the industry, you being in the industry, having a first perspective and just having deeper insights. Explain, because we're talking about black women, and especially for the black women who are listening, who may not find their hair, the texture of their hair. You know, they say something is
get her put in.
Everybody has good hair, or good skin. But yet you see people like, I mean, I mentioned the Kardashians because they're so prominent on social media and on television, you know, trying to pay millions of dollars to look like us. What is the issue?
I mean, I think Supreme was speaking on it, you know, that it's an issue of self-love. Like, growing up, I was always told I was beautiful. I tell my friends' daughters they're beautiful, and to accept and love yourself. And everybody has self-hate issues. It goes across every which way. You got
right.
black people trying to be whiter. You got white people trying to be blacker. You got Asian people don't know which side they want to be on. They want to be white 1 minute, black the other. Everybody has self-hate issues. And self-love is a big issue. And Supreme was actually speaking on something when he was talking about our entertainers, not talking about enough black love and self-love and all of that. But at the end of the day, what we have in the industry is so much so a bunch of hypocrites.
Wow.
Because what's really happening is this. The almighty dollar rules everything. And if you look at the history, we go outside ourselves for acceptance so much. If you look at the history, yes, Kerry Washington, no shade, Kerry, I watch Scandal, big up, girl. But Kerry Washington, you know, yes, she's on the Obama Arts Committee and all of that stuff, but on TV, you're playing a whore to two white men.
Right.
Like,
right.
the reality is,
thank
you know, this is a problem for me.
Right.
Like, Denzel is an amazing actor, but every award that you won, like Oscars, you were a slave and a crooked cop.
Right.
The stereotypes. You know, Jamie Foxx did an amazing job in Ray, but Ray was not a highlight of his career accomplishment. It was his addiction, his
right.
womanizing,
right.
all of these
right.
things. So, yes, you can tell me about black love and all of that's great, but I need more shows like Black-ish
right.
because I need to see that. When we grew up, I mean, though, you're going through some things now, but the Cosby Show, the Cosby Show was proof that, look, I love me some Heathcliff Huxtable, Bill. I don't know what you out there doing, but Heathcliff is my man. But Cosby Show was a demonstration that not only could we do it, we could be healthy, we could love well, our children could get great education, you could live well. A Different World was telling you that, yeah, your teacher may not tell you you're not going to make it past high school, but if you open your mind a little bit further, there are people like you excelling and going places. Today, we have, yeah, you may show up at a protest, that's cool. You may be here, that's all right. But then you'll take that almighty dollar to play a hood barber in a barber shop just so you can be standing next to Ice Cube, who's already sold his soul. So what are we doing? You have our women out here acting like even if you watch Being Mary Jane, there's some things going on there with her self-love and how she deals with her family. And it's like our images of our family, our base, where we're supposed to be from, is so broken.
I hate that. I mean, the stereotypical black way. I mean, if you notice, even in the movies, everybody, they have the token black comedian. You can't have a movie without
Samuel Jackson.
Wow. Yeah. You can't have a movie without a Kevin Hart, a Tracy Morgan, a Samuel Jackson. You have to have your token
it's
black
modern
guy.
Day cooning.
Yeah.
And then we get mad when they want to take the things that they like from our culture, but these are the same people that you mad because the Oscars are so white. But you know what? They were wearing cornrows to the Oscars, though, wrapped up in the buns.
Right.
They was cool with that, though.
Right.
And it's like, you know, if we're going to talk about self-love, then we got to self-love all the way. We can't self-love once Shonda gets three shows on TV,
right.
Then we have Black Pride. We need a self-love for, the you know, the kid that's struggling to do it in the indie way and things like that, because at the end of the day, they don't recognize us unless we're thieves, whores, coons, crooked, slaves. Like, why are we winning awards for being made? That's the same thing Hattie McDaniel was winning for and Gone with the Wind.
Well, I mean, I have a question for you. What do you feel, how do you feel we can represent better in terms of our expression? We talk about the arts, we talk about movies, music. How can we do better as a people?
Well,
to,
at the end of the day, we need to control it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we don't control what images others see of us, it's impossible. We have to control it. We have to control the media. I was upset when the dude, BET, the guy who owned BET, I was upset when he stole that.
Bob Johnson.
Yeah, Bob Johnson. I was upset with that. You know what I mean? So that's the problem with us. We don't control nothing. We don't make plastic. We don't make nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. They took everything from us. They stripped us of everything. So they have the power to get the world an image of us. So when those come from different parts of the world, when they come here, they already have an image of us already.
Mm-hmm.
So go to the community and suck the blood of those people because they will support you because they have nothing. They're dead. So when we talk about vultures, vultures are destroying our culture. Vultures are only those who are picking from the dead.
That's
they're dead.
Right.
They're preaching pretty.
So I mean, so I have a question. I'll shoot it to Daniel. What is a good way that you would see, like, where you wouldn't get offended if a white person were to use, what's a responsible way that a white person could, you know, use our culture? Or, you know, do you still get offended if you see somebody, you know, trying to rap like us and talk like us? Because, I mean, you know, we live in a society where, you know, it seems as if people who are of other ethnicities are trying to embrace what we do, but kind of do it in a safe way that's not. But what would you say is a good way for them to be able to express themselves or to pay homage to what we do?
Right now, I don't see any way they can do it because how we are treated so bad, honestly, because I really feel like my brother said over here, we need to start owning things. We need to start taking over, like he said, like, you know, the media is controlled so much. Like, when you watch the news and the stuff that's put out there, the stuff that's put out there is not the only thing that's going on. They pick and choose what they want to put. You know, they're going to only put the things that are happening in the urban towns, all these killings, but they don't want to show anything else that's going on in suburban towns when these different races are doing these same crazy things.
but they don't want to put it out there. They want, like he said, they want to control the image that people have of us when they come here. Oh, man, these black people, yeah, let me go to the hood. Let me put a Dunkin' Donuts here. But the black folks, we don't own it, but we going to go there and get our coffee. Oh, I'm going to dick at the Starbucks. Yeah, but we don't own it. Why don't we start doing that? Why don't we own these things? That you want to have the McDonald's in the hood? Why don't we own that McDonald's? Just from the movie, yeah. Why don't we start employing, you know, hiring our people? Where you know, everybody wants to, like, you go to certain McDonald's, you don't see no black people there.
Right.
You know, they also sometimes feel that they're too good for that job. You know, we also got to get at that mentality. Sometimes you have to crawl before you can walk,
right.
And you have to start somewhere. Maybe you might start on that fries, and maybe you might end up as that manager. Maybe you might end up as that owner. And I'm saying, like, you know, that's the direction that we have to go in. And back to your question, like, I feel they can use our stuff to acknowledge us.
Right.
You know, pay homage to us. You know, why, like you said, stop saying that Elvis Presley is a king.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Why don't we start telling the truth? Why don't we start showing the good things that our people have done? You know, let's just start saying Black History Month. That's why we talk about Black History all year long. You know, let's talk about
McDonald's come up with Black History Month.
Come on, let's do that. You know, things like that.
Well, I ask you, would the acknowledgement make a difference? Would it even make a difference?
Well, it may make a little difference, but let me take you back. When I was coming up, I used to break dance, right? And now I'm starting to see schools being operated and ran by Caucasian break dancing schools. So it bugs me out when I see these white boys actually teaching people how to pop lock and break dance. You know what I mean? So in a way, it's our fault that we didn't take charge and run things. You know what I mean? But I think there's ways they keep us out. But we have to own it, man. We have to
Brandon
own it.
I think there's two things. Well, there's three things. One, Black people need to stop acting like we did everything. Now there were white breakdancers back in the day. There were a few. Then they might have some offspring. They were Puerto Rican. They may not have been on Mexicans. I don't know when they got here. But at the end of the day, this is what we need to do. The reason why we don't own things is because we don't educate our children to own things. We don't give them better images than what they see on TV. When I was younger, my storybook had black people in them.
Right.
I knew who Maya Angelou was before the age of 10.
Right.
If you don't know that those things are possible, you're not going to shoot for those things. The other thing is, we need to get like white people, and we need to work on nepotism, not a hookup nepotism.
Right.
If you walk into a door and you see a job opening and your homeboy has the qualifications to get that job, this is when you say, brother, even if your job has a hiring incentive program, look, bruh, I can get this $250.
Right.
I can split it with you.
Right.
You're qualified. I'll put in a good word for you. Come through this door with me. Open this door with me. Walk through it with me. And leave the door open for the next person.
Right.
Too busy. We so busy thinking about getting ahead sometimes.
We're so busy getting
ahead sometimes. I've walked on movie sets and the director's been black and the whole crew is white. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, there ain't no black people in the union. You're a director. You can get black people in the union. This is what I'm saying. Like, we need to start with education and nepotism. Too far in our history, and it's actually recent history, the destruction of black families started to happen.
Of course.
And the problem with the destruction of black families is it's not just that the male is outside the home or that the mother has left. It's that we got babies having babies. So you have something with little education having something that's going to have less education than you have. Because by the time they're stuck in that cycle, they're going to have a child around the same time. We
wow.
should not have 41-year-old grandmothers, man.
I mean, it's common, too. My grandmother's 94.
But these girls, this generation, now we have even more trouble because of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, now they have Drea in every Instagram hoe that thinks they pop it to look forward to.
Hmm.
That's not what you should look forward to. What you need to look forward to are the Condoleezza Rices. I don't agree with Condoleezza. But look at where she is. You need to look at the head of the Justice Department. You need to start looking at those people, but we have to show them that those things are possible. Now, the images that they control, yes, the images that you see on the news, okay. But when your baby comes home from school, between homework, dinner, and bedtime, why not hand them a book of somebody that looks like them that's doing something amazing?
Right. Right.
I used to have to write book reports. My mother wasn't a school teacher until I was in high school. My mother was a corporate headhunter. I had to write book reports on black people from books she handed me. You know why she gave me that? Because she always told me, if you know whose shoulders you stand on, you're never going to fall over.
I mean, the thing is, the way I view it is that for certain people, they view it as education. But in our community, and I'll play devil's advocate, a lot of people feel like a person like Condoleezza Rice or anybody who has reached the corporate ladder have had to compromise, themselves. Dave, what do you feel? Like, do you feel like we have to compromise to, you know?
I don't think we should compromise, but in our history of in America, black folk has compromised, you know, and I guess there was a way to basically get ahead, you know, to move up. But I don't think we should compromise our our blackness, our dignity, and all of that. But
well, and how you compromise,
right,
though? I work at a majority white company, okay? I'm a black girl.
Right.
I have crochet braids in my hair.
Right.
Not box braids, y'all, crochet, so you know it looks a little wavy. If you see the T-shirt I'm wearing, it's all about, y'all can't see it, but it's all about black girl magic.
Right.
I throw a blazer over this. I walk in every day. I do my job stellar to the point where my bosses are like, yo, you're a rock star. My compromise is I walk in your door. I walk in your door in a way that's respectful, but that does not compromise my integrity,
right,
or the person that I am all the time.
Right.
You don't have to shuck and jive.
Right.
You don't have to coon for the white man.
Yeah, but a lot of them do.
Because they're not thinking. See, some
or
places you want to go.
Or maybe they're not even taught.
Right.
But some places you want to go, the compromise may be greater. Now, listen, if you own into a Fortune 500 company, you walk into Twitter, Facebook, or something, they say it's the culture, but a lot of places now the cultures are so different, and the cultures are so freeing, and the space is so good that you can still be yourself. I have people in my building. I work in a building. There's law firms, black enterprises in the same building. I work for the I work for the white people.
Keep it real.
Right.
Well, real quick, Brandy, I want to apologize to all people who are trying to call in. We have been facing technical difficulties on tonight, but we promise next week you will be able to call in and listen in, and of course for everybody's tuning in. So we apologize, but next week you'll be free to call in. Well, I mean, Prem, do you feel like we are getting better, or is it going backwards? Because I listened to Brandy's point where she was talking about how, you know, it's plastered across the screen. It's plastered across the media, the way they are kind of stealing. So it seems that almost from the 90s it's getting worse. That pay and homage and that respect is not the same.
But we gotta understand that that's their history. You're not going to stop them from stealing.
Mm.
Nothing. I mean, that's never
seems like it's taught, too.
At the end of the day, we might have to look at it as a positive, because we are the leaders even in our dead state.
Mm-hmm.
They follow us even in the state that we're in. So imagine how it was in the beginning. So in the beginning, as it was in the beginning, so should it be in the end. So just when we became the way we are in the dead state, we're going to grow. We're going to grow. We're growing. Now, I can see that we're growing in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the leaders of the world. So we just basically have to take our rightful place. And what they're doing, they're actually proving that we are the leaders.
Wow.
Bottom line.
Wow.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we just got to take our rightful place and just do what we do.
Daniel had a question.
Yeah, I have a question. For everybody that's here, and I want to start with you, my brother. How do you feel about education? I feel personally that as a people, more of us need to be educated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on what kind of education. Yes, I understand. There's all different types of education.
Yeah.
But what I feel is when our people, after we graduate high school, how do you feel about our people going to college? I feel personally that all of our people should go to college, and we need more of it. Just like you said, you know, we have babies having babies who are not educated,
right,
and are not properly able to teach that child and raise that child.
I think we do need education. I think there are so many people that's educated in this world today, but we have a whole bunch of educated fools that don't have no knowledge of self.
And no,
if you don't have no knowledge of self, you're an educated fool. We got a lot of leaders that's educated with, I'm talking about, degrees up there behind. Look what's happening.
Where are the parents, though? That's the question. I believe, where are the parents?
If you don't have no black consciousness, if you don't have no black consciousness, you're just an educated fool.
dumb as hell. We do have a bunch of educated fools, and education, first of all, we need to stop depending on the school system to necessarily educate our children.
Right.
If you were, I don't know how everybody around here was raised, but I knew how to write my name before I went to school. Education started at home. So the things that I needed to know in this life, the ways that I needed to act in social circles in this life,
right,
came from home. So you need to know what's in those books. You
right.
have to.
Right.
If you want to elevate, if you want to ascend to greater places, you can talk to anybody that started a business. If they've been locked up, ain't been locked up, the first thing they tell you, they read everything they could find trying to get to where they want to go. You have to seek knowledge consistently, and
right.
you have to learn how to manifest that knowledge. If you don't go to college, go to a trade school.
Right.
Learn IT stuff. Get an associate if you don't think 4 years is going to work for you. But you have to continuously educate yourself, because the number one thing they think about us is that we're stupid.
Right.
And one of the things Supreme said is that they think we're dead people. I agree with that in the sense of they think mentally we're dead, but culturally they know we're unbreakable. They've always known we're unbreakable.
So how
and why they're so afraid of us. See, the things that they've done to us haven't been done just to minimize. If they wanted to wipe us out, they could have.
Right.
What they try to do is break us to a point where we don't want to rise up. They're afraid because they know that when they went to Africa, they pulled kings, queens, warriors. They had to trap us. They had to turn our own against us to get us on that boat. You didn't just walk over there and say, hey, get on the boat. And everybody was like, yes, we're getting on the boat. They know that even when you try to put us in shackles and chains, when you separated our families, unbreakable,
right.
still here, invented and woven into the very fabric of your country. The blueprint for Washington, D.C. was designed by a black man. You can't break us.
But the thing is, so besides ownership, because it seems as if that's the only answer to being able to push what we have culturally without compromising.
No, it's education.
So you do
it. Education is the precursor to all of that. Whether
right.
you go in the corporate world, whether you stay in the, you know, whether you choose to own your own business, if you're not educated, it don't matter what you do. It's never going to matter what you do.
Right.
Because you can't own nothing if you can't count.
Well,
you can't read contracts.
Right.
You can't do it.
That's true. Well, I mean, I have a question. I'm going to pass it to everybody. I want you to mention one way in which you see, personally in your community, that what we do culturally as the black people is being capitalized. And I'll start with Prem.
Let's see. Well, one, I mean, in our community, I mean, food. I mean, sort of the smallest thing, food. Who makes the best chicken in the world? And we go into Chinese people for chicken. I mean, there's so many little things in the community that we can be doing for ourselves, and they're capitalizing on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you say the food. I mean, that's one of the biggest games.
So many things.
Give me one thing that you see in your community, because I see food all the time. Every time I go to a restaurant, every restaurant has mac and cheese.
Right.
You know, we went to a restaurant tonight.
I mean,
mac and cheese, fried chicken.
Period. I mean, there is no way in hell that we should be having all these bodegas and no black owned grocery stores up
wow.
and down the avenue. It don't make sense to me. So, and at one time, I used to get upset. I go into a store, and I never seen, because I was mentoring children at one time, you know what I mean, and trying to get them little small jobs. And once I bring them to the stores, I try to get the people, the owners of the stores, to hire them. They wouldn't hire none of the young brothers. So I sit back and think, should I be mad at them? I mean, they're only doing what we should be doing.
Right.
They're doing for self.
Right.
But they're just doing it in our community.
Mm.
You understand?
Right.
So we should be having that, you know, those stores. Why don't we get together and rent these stores and
right.
start putting, you know, food in there? I mean, it's simple mathematics.
It is. Brandy, what do you see capitalized real quick?
Appearance. White girls, now they want the cornrows. They got to have a big booty. They wearing...
They gotta have that.
They dressing like black girls now. Like khakis aren't enough for them. They gotta have the tight jeans with the
right.
tight tops, and they gotta do all of that. Like appearance, white boys they sag.
Right.
You gotta see all their draws and all of this stuff. And they're buying
the very clothes that we buy, they're buying clothes by black designers. Right. And they still turning around and wearing them the way that we wear them. That's like, that's their appropriation. Hairstyles. I didn't even, I've never seen those white girls in the day on Korean hairstyle buying weave like I've seen lately. Why is Ali buying weave from Sulin? What is going on right now? Like, because they wanted to look like us. The
right.
Kardashians are another example of it. Kim got weave, Kourtney got weave.
All black
got
boyfriends,
weave.
Right?
Love the black bean. That's
appropriation.
I'm still on the business, like my brother was saying, like, you know, look at the beauty supply places that
right.
a lot of people are going in and buying all these products. Look at the cleaners. Like, why can't we do that?
Right. $1.7 trillion in terms of our buying power.
Right.
That's just amazing to me.
He mentioned beauty products. I'm telling you, there's white corporations that actually put African names on products. You call it black pride and this and that, but they all
now,
white. You know what I mean?
Now, Prince, tell me what you got, because he has an alternative to that.
I have a shea butter that I call the Supreme Sunshine Shea Butter, and this shea butter is good for all things. I mean, as far as your skin is concerned, the rashness, the ashiness, you got some cracks and ashy cracks on the back of your heel. I got a solution for that, Supreme Sunshine Shea Butter. I got it in pineapple coconut. I have it in baby powder fresh. I have it in mango twist. But I mean, I'm trying to.
See, this is what I'm talking about. And we're going to, and we, all of us here who are here, you know, we want to support our own. We don't want to go to the Korean shop. And we, you know, we have shea butter.
Tell us the name of it one more time. The name of it is the Supreme Sunshine Shea Butter. Again, the Supreme Sunshine Shea Butter. And, you know, I noticed one thing about us. When we produce something or try to create something, it's hard for other black men and women to put money in other black men and women's hands.
Ooh,
for some reason,
from experience, though, because I know there are some black folks I'm not doing business with. The market wants,
but that's not
pay.
All of
them. See, that's not
good.
It's not good,
but at the end of the day, if you need something done, you need it done the right way.
I agree.
And I tried it with my brothers and my sisters, and it didn't work.
You find another brother and sister that you make.
Nah, I ain't got that kind of time.
That's helpful. See, we're talking about if that person, if that situation don't work, you got to go to somewhere else.
It depends on the kind of time you have for the things you do. Profession, I don't have time to get it wrong more than once. And sometimes I got to cover up what it is.
I'm not
going to
get it wrong more. Okay, so I'm not going to get it wrong.
That's our psyche, though. Our psyche make us believe that it's not going to be right unless it's white.
Wow.
I had a conversation with a cat today in the barbershop, and he said to me, if you want to get your car waxed, right? Yo, go down to this place out of these white guys. I said, hold on, man. I know a brother who waxed cars. He got a company called the Wax Factory, and he's been rocking in this community for years. Won't you go to? But he said this to me. He says, yeah, but I want to get it right. I said, what you mean?
I think
he's really good, but that's we have that.
It depends. It all depends. Because I had a thing where I was doing book covers,
right.
And I need my book cover shot. I did three black photographers that all got it wrong.
Right.
I went to an Asian guy, he got it right.
Okay.
He wasn't white, but I gave three brothers a chance, and everybody's screwed.
I mean, I think that's an old mentality. To be honest, I know family members who are like that. They say, well, you know, I want to go to the white people to get it done. And that has to stop. I think that what you guys are talking about, because we're closing, I think what you guys were talking about and mentioning, education is the most important part. Education is the most important part. And then parents, I don't want to chastise or any parent or rebuke any parent, but I see that some of our parents just let their child in front of the television, let the media and television and the phone educate their kids. Take out time with your kids.
Right.
Take out time to educate them on people historically who are black, who have accomplished great things, astronauts and actresses and actors and inventors and people who are speakers and who are amazing doing what they do. Like I said, we want to thank everybody for joining Beat Talk Live again this week. We had an amazing conversation. Mm-hmm. Join us next week. Supreme, we want to thank him. Daniel, we want to thank him. Brandy, we want to thank you.
Let us know where we can find you, Brandy, real quick.
Find me at MediaHunterPR.net.
Okay. Say it one more time.
MediaHunterPR.net.
Supreme, let us know where we can find you.
You can find me at 318 on the King Drive. That shea butter is there. Supreme Sunshine Shea Butter.
Okay, so we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Next week, blogtalkradio.com. Join us again Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We want to thank everybody. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace.